and welcome to episode 29 of React Native Radio. Today on our panel, we have Peter Pykarczyk.
Hey, everybody.
I'm your host, Nader Dabit. And our special guest today is Mike Grabowski.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me and having me today. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming on. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. So I guess before we get going with all of the topics, can you kind of give us a quick rundown of how you got into programming and what you're doing at this current moment with your career?
Yeah, of course. So I'm currently 23 years old, and I've started programming when I was, I guess, 17 or 16 years old. So obviously, I missed all these web things and all these fun things that happened to web before like 2000. So my first kind of like interest was purely in HTML, CSS, and PHP, and that's how I started. My father was actually doing some search engine optimizations at his current job by then, and he always wanted me to make some templates for him. So I just decided to spend like 2 days to make something, and then I received like tons of feedback from others from the community asking me to make these templates for them as well. So that was my very, very first self-employed opportunity I had at the age of 16. And after that, I actually, after spending all these nights doing these things, obviously, I've realized it's not only like the job and the way to make some money, but it's also something I quite enjoy. And that was the moment I decided to quit my medic class and kind of focus on the programming. And that's why I've chosen the computer science as my degree. And that's how all these things started. Then I obviously moved to a bigger city, to Wrocław, where I got my first real job. Obviously still in PHP. And then after doing PHP for like 2 years, I've started working with AngularJS. And that allowed me to actually move to UK, where I was involved in all these cool mean stack technologies. And that's how I got into React like 2 years ago in London. And after doing some stuff in React.js, we have decided that I'll go back to Poland to open kind of an offshore branch of my current company. So that's how the staff was working for like, I guess, 2 years. And after that, we had decided to open an independent company, which is called Coldstack. And that's what I'm currently up to.
Very cool. So can you tell us a little bit about Coldstack and what you guys specialize in?
Oh, yeah. So Coldstack is actually a pretty cool company because everyone working here is my friend. So it's like we have a very, very cool atmosphere. The reason for Coldstack was I was always kind of asked to do some consultancy. And, you know, after doing this for like 2 or 3 months, I just got tired of working after my work. So I thought, like, why not to do it like full time without kind of, you know, giving up on my other activities? So that's how we have started. And we have decided to kind of bet on React Native. And that's what we are doing full time. Like, I would say 90% of our projects are React Native apps. Some of them are apps we have to rewrite from native code. Some of them are complete startups we have to do. We mostly cooperate with, you know, abroad clients just because React Native and React itself are not yet that popular in Europe, in Poland. So there's not much we can do here. But yeah, I mean, we are kind of trying to do stuff with React Native. And that's why we are trying to give back to the community by doing these things like releases, our writing staff like our NPM. That's how we are kind of trying to give back because React Native pretty much changed the way we live.
So that's interesting. You say that you were doing some consulting, but you were also holding like a full-time position at a company and it was kind of becoming just too much. And you were like, you know what? I really enjoyed this consulting thing. Let me just try to make this work on its own.
Yeah, that's true. You know, that was actually a pretty cool decision because on my full-time job, I always had to deal with clients and requirements. We had to pitch technologies and come up with some specs to kind of write software. And the consulting was cool because I was asked by the developers and by other clients that already knew React Native was their technology. They had everything in place. So the cooperation was super cool because we could have just made things faster. Because we were kind of into the topic. So that was the motivation.
Yeah, I definitely feel in a very similar situation right now but I'm kind of balancing everything out in a better way than I was at first. When I first started doing some consulting on the side, I took on a few too many projects and I got very kind of bogged down. But now I've realized my work-life balance has to be a little more manageable. So now I just take maybe one project at a time, maybe 40 to 80 hours, and I can still kind of, you know, 40 or 80 hours per month, and I can still kind of manage my personal life and my work life. But I always kind of thought the idea of kind of going out on my own and opening my consultancy would be ideal, and it would be, you know, very fun. But I really enjoy the company I work for, but it's always been something I've thought about. I think Peter can relate to that.
Yeah, I've been consulting full time for the past few months now. And I think it's always hard when you start, because that initial freak out of, oh no, I'm not going to make any money. So like Nader mentioned, you might take on a few extra gigs and then you're sort of swamped, you know. But I feel like as engineers, we always sort of dig ourselves out of that problem. And it's just something that, you know, that happens initially, and then you kind of even yourself out. But yeah, I do enjoy it because the projects are all different. And unlike being an engineer at a product company where the only thing I have to focus on is making the product better, I now have to come up with estimates and double check those estimates so it doesn't shoot me in the foot in the future, and make sure that I know how to communicate with the client and any other developers that may be working along too. And also getting the gigs are hard too, right? That's, you have to learn how to sell yourself and make sure that people trust you. So it's definitely been an interesting experience for me.
So how do you feel the transition into your own company and consulting? How has that been? Has it been kind of smooth or rough? And what have you kind of learned in that process?
Well, actually, I think it's been kind of smooth because, I mean, the hardest thing was to kind of figure out the compromise, how to deal with my current employer, because we've been kind of heading an offshore branch for him. So it's been like we've been hiring 3 or 4 developers and they were completely dependent on us. So it was super hard to figure out how to make this transition to a consulting company that can kind of take any project. But still give them kind of like a maintenance or a separate plan for upcoming months to just not leave them without any dev team. And that was the hardest thing to do. We have agreed on some certain things like the number of people in the team or the hourly rate we will give them. But yeah, I mean, in general, it's been quite fun because we've been approached, like initially we've been approached by the e-commerce company located in Wrocław, which is called Divanta. And they have invested in our company. They have secured us for like half a year. So we didn't have to worry about whether we will have some projects to do or not. We were just able to kind of focus purely on looking for clients and purely on doing some stuff. So it's been pretty smooth. I would say the most important thing is before you start doing the consulting is to build some kind of identity in the open source community, because that's how we are getting most of our projects. People just know us from the open source, from our work on React Native, on RMPM. So when they approach us, they are pretty sure they want us. So we don't have to pitch ourselves. We don't have to give them our like biography, our CVs and stuff. They all know that we are good. So I would say you have to be sure that people know you or kind of recognize you, and that you can kind of, and that you are recognizable, because I think that's the most important thing in the consulting.
So when you deal with a customer and you're talking about a mobile app, are they specifically coming to you for a React Native mobile app, or is that just a platform that you bring into the picture? And maybe if they're not technical and know all of the underlying technologies, you just build the app in React Native. Is that kind of how that works? And also, how happy have your customers been with the performance and everything on the React Native apps that you've shipped so far?
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends, because like I think like 20% of the clients are the clients that just want a mobile app. So they are not interested in the, I mean, they don't know React Native, obviously. So we have to tell them how's React Native working under the hood? Why is it cool and stuff? But I would say 80% of our customers already know that they want this specific technology. They usually want us to be their pair programmer partners. They want us to partner with their team that they have on site to work on the projects. So they are already kind of, they already have something like a prototype working when they want us to kind of help them building the rest of the stuff. Performance-wise, everyone's been happy so far. I mean, we've done so many cool apps recently. Unfortunately, most of them are under NDA, so we cannot actually go public with them just yet. But this will happen this year. And we have built one of our coolest apps we have built recently was the Media Player. We have built a Spotify-like application with a fully working media player implementation with lock screen control, headphones control, and all these things you would have expected from a truly native player, purely in React Native. So it's expected to have a huge user base. It currently has, I guess, 200,000 users, and it's going to grow. And the performance is pretty cool. The fun thing about this app is we don't have Redux there because it's been quite old. So we have higher order functions. We have state everywhere. And it's super easy to maintain, surprisingly, and it works really cool. So when we go public with this, it's going to be pretty fun and exciting because people will finally see a working example of how to integrate these super native things and still have a very, very cool performance.
So what did you guys use for the media player? Is that something that you guys developed in-house or is there a open source project that you guys took advantage of?
Native-wise, we have used the streaming kit for iOS to kind of control the native side of the player. And on Android, we have used the core library, which is called, I guess, Media Player. So that's how we have built it. I mean, the way it works is everything is controlled by the JavaScript. And JavaScript is the source of truth for things like shuffling the play queue or adding new plays or to your list. And the native interface just exposes like three or four methods just to control things like play next, play previous, stop, resume, and things like that. So thanks to that, our native kind of side of things is super small and we can add in features on both platforms at the same time and fix bugs at the same time. And that was pretty cool decision because honestly, when you compare the Android and iOS APIs regarding the media player, they are so much different. And generally, the documentation of Android platform is not something I'm in love with. So I would say, I mean, that's how it works. And I think that's like the best decision you can make in most cases to go with the JS side as much as possible, because that's how React Native actually can help you.
Is there any tools or libraries that you wish you had that you feel like are missing today?
In React Native in general.
It could be in general, but you know, more or less React Native.
Well, it's actually a pretty cool question. I'm not really sure if I have something in my mind just yet. It might be because I'm kind of like an iOS developer at the same time. So whenever we feel something is missing, we are trying to build it by ourselves. So that might be it. I don't know actually. I think I'm pretty happy. Like 2 years ago, I mean, 1 year and a half ago, things were way much worse. Like we didn't have things like social logins, and we didn't have things like blurring the scenes. Currently, we have them all, and we often can kind of choose from them. Like we have two or three side menu implementations. We have native tab bar, and we have JS tab bar by exponents. So there's like quite a lot to choose from. So I would say for most of the use cases, the ecosystem itself is pretty much kind of feature complete.
So you guys do some iOS implementation of native features, I guess, is kind of what you were talking about. What does your team consist of as far as developer-wise? Is there more, or are there more JavaScript developers, or are there more native developers, or is it a combination of both?
We have mostly JS developers, but we are kind of full stack developers to be honest. So it's like I am an iOS developer at the same time. I wouldn't say I'm an expert, but I know how to do the things, so that quite helps. We have a few Android developers as well. So we are obviously hiring JS developers, but we are always kind of promoting native tooling as well, so that when they have to solve something, they know how to kind of set up Gradle or how to use Android Studio or how to write missing things. So we are kind of encouraging them to learn these technologies, but obviously we still want them to be JS developers first.
So you mentioned a few of the projects that you guys had been involved with your company as far as open source. I guess, can you go into more of the more well-known projects that you guys have available in the open source community? I know RNPM is one of them, but what else are you guys kind of working with, and what work have you guys done in the actual React Native community?
Yeah, so as you've mentioned, we have obviously built RNPM, not entirely because there is LXCA that built half of it. So it's kind of like a joining development. We have built that super, super small proof of concept Atom Xcode thing that was supposed to be a kind of like a super small alternative to the Nuclide itself. We still have to kind of update it because we didn't have enough time recently. But our kind of forces were mainly focused on working on the React Native itself by shipping bugs, shipping pull requests, solving some bugs, and kind of being in the community. We have our developers kind of just spending time on Stack Overflow, looking for some issues and kind of answering them. I get like a lot of questions on a daily basis from the community on Discord and on email privately, where we are always trying to answer them straight away just to help people develop the apps. So that's what we are currently up to. We have quite a lot of components we have to open source in upcoming months that we have built for our clients, and they have agreed to open source them. So we just have to strip them out from the NDA code. Things like kind of adjusting your view to the keyboard. We have built kind of like a convenient abstraction for handling that. We have also built things like controlling the events when you have multiple inputs on your view. So for example, when you have a form with three text inputs and you click an input, everything is as you would have expected. But when you click a background or when you click something that's not a text input, the keyboard is dismissed and things like that. So we've been mainly working on the user interactions. So we have to kind of just move these components for our internal code. But if we are talking about what we have now and what we have currently, I would say we are mainly focused on working in the Facebook React Native repo. And that's what we will be probably kind of doing more in the upcoming months. Because as I said, we feel pretty much confident with the tooling itself as of now. So our main focus is to getting React Native into more and more stable shape with every release that is shipped. And that's what we'll be probably doing at this stage.
So how did you get into contributing to React Native? Can you tell us a little about, maybe for everyone that wants to get started, but just doesn't know where to start?
Sure. I mean, I'm not sure if I remember. I guess my first React Native contribution was a typo fix. So that was pretty easy to get started. I mean, the first thing I would suggest to people is to just clone the project and just go through the source code just to see how it works. Obviously, there are some easy to fix issues that you can kind of look for in React Native repo. Some of them are kind of missing contributions. But the easiest thing to do is just go through the issues, look for the questions, and just point them to be closed, because the issue tracker should be purely for issues, not for questions. And we would love any contribution just to go through them and see what is a question, what is a duplicate, because by the end of the day, we have like 600 of issues where half of them is not even a bug, which is super hard to get focused on something specific. And the same thing applies to pull requests, because we have, as of today, we have 179. And how you can help there? Well, you can go through them, you can review the changes. If you know React, if you know JavaScript, or if you know Android, you can just go through the diff, see what it changes. And you don't have to comment on things like you don't have to comment whether something works or not. Even if you see some nitpicks, or if you see some typos, or someone not following this tagline, you can just point them to kind of fix them. So yeah, as I said, you can start with just going through issues and pull requests and helping us, just being in the community, writing some articles, because contributing is not always about the code. So there is pretty much a lot to do in the React Native itself.
So let's talk about RNPM for a second. So RNPM is a big deal, because a lot of times someone getting into native development doesn't really understand how to use Xcode and how to implement all these native dependencies into a project. RNPM just allows you to run a command and it basically does all that for you. Can you kind of go into how you guys decided to build RNPM and, you know, you working with whoever else you guys were working with, like how that process went?
Yeah. So we have started RNPM, I think, like 6 or 7 months ago. It was, I guess, around November last year. And the original idea for the RNPM was internally at the company, we had quite a lot of trouble with setting all these things up, as you said, like linking dependencies. It was just too slow. I mean, my normal expectation was that NPM install is going to work. So we've been super confused pretty often that something wasn't working as expected. We were receiving some red screens saying that, you know, specific native code is missing. And we've been wondering why, like what did happen? That module used to work. This is no longer working. So that was really confusing for us and for our employees and for the community as well. The original motivation was just to make this process easier because we were trying to promote React Native itself to non-native developers. So our initial kind of assumption should be that you don't have to know anything about native code in order to get started with React Native. And that's how the RNPM idea was born. I guess after we have figured out that RNPM will be doing these specific things, I have partnered with Alexei to kind of work on this together because we've been involved in quite a few other projects in the past as well in the open source because we've been doing React Native Side Menu, React Native Navbar, quite a lot of open source modules together. So I just quite like the way we cooperate. I just quite like him to work with him as a developer and as a friend. So I just felt like if we will do it together, it's going to be awesome. And yeah, it took us like a month or two to kind of build RNPM into super, super early release. I mean, we had plenty of long discussions about style guide and stuff just to make it perfect. But yeah, I mean, that's how we made it in like a month or 2 months. And then we just kind of waited for the feedback from the community on kind of like what they want. Because, you know, from the very first day, we wanted RNPM to be a developer-friendly tool. So obviously, some of the features were driven by my company needs, for example, because we were assigning my time to work on this during my working hours. So obviously things like Link were inspired by our needs. But then things like plugin install or plugin upgrade that we have recently done were kind of brought up just by the community.
That all makes sense, right? At the end of the day, you're not going to fabricate solutions for problems that you're not personally facing, right? I think that's another good point to make. A lot of the times, if you do want to get into open source or, you know, get some stargazers on your repos, build something that you're personally having an issue with, you know? That way, if you can solve your own problem, there's a really good chance that you can solve other people's problems too.
Yeah, that's really true, actually. I remember, like, for 2 years, every day I was waking up, I was like, is today the day I will make my first open source project? No. And that's how it's been going for like 2 years. I've been always trying to build something useful. And every time I had an idea, there's been always like 10 or 20 NPM modules for this. So the day when I woke up and I thought like, how to link modules natively without native knowledge? And there was no answer. I was like, yes, today is the day I'll make my first open source project that hopefully will be popular. So yeah, that's a very, very important thing to keep in mind when kind of trying to build something.
So what made things easier for you in terms of contributions? I know you said you were a PHP developer. Did you learn JavaScript before you learned Objective-C? Did you learn anything lower level than Objective-C or PHP? Like how did you get into some of the core React Native implementations?
You know, when I moved to London, I was PHP developer in 90%, and I only had a very, very basic Node.js knowledge and AngularJS knowledge. And actually, it's been that way only because I had an opportunity to work with a great team in London, which is called Men and Moon. They are a really cool company. they were always highly product oriented. So whenever I wanted them to, whenever they wanted me to build something, I was completely in charge of choosing the technologies. And my boss was super into JavaScript as well. So we've been trying to do things like build something with Meteor, build something with React, build something with Vue.js. And that allowed me to kind of check out all these cool technologies at the same time. And that's how I got into JavaScript itself. You know, like 6 months after that, we had to build a mobile app. And that was before React Native was even born. So our to-go solution was to go with Objective-C. So as a lead developer of this company, I had to learn it. So I spent a month. It was December. I had a break. So I just bought a great book about how to write Objective-C apps. I don't remember its title, but it was one of the most popular ones in the community by then. And I just started doing some tutorials. I was just following the chapters in the app, building like views, building date pickers and stuff. And after kind of realizing how it all works, how to build views, what is auto layout and how to use it, I've realized that, you know, I no longer have to follow this book because I know all these things now and I can go and build something convenient for myself. So that was how we kind of got into it. In the meantime, we've been building some REST APIs. So we had to kind of learn Golang, Clojure, and all these things. Even Elixir, I think we have something running in production at this stage. So yeah, I mean, just because of the company, I had to kind of learn all these technologies. Currently, we are investigating Elmlang. So I think the most important thing, if anyone is looking to improve their JS knowledge or programming knowledge in general, is to work for a company where you can develop yourself in any technology you want. Obviously, you have to work in your primary language, but, you know, I mean, I think it's a pretty cool opportunity if you can just, you know, come up to your boss and say, today I want to write something in Golang because Golang is cool for these purposes. And he's going to be, all right, just spend like a week learning it and let's build something. So that was it. Regarding some low level things, a bit of C and a bit of C++, purely because I had to learn it for my computer science degree along with Java. So that was it. But I wouldn't say I'm like an expert. I'm probably a junior in these technologies, just trying to understand the code, and I can probably write something that works, but it's not going to be the best solution ever made, I would say.
So there's another project that I know you are involved with, the Facebook SDK. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So recently there has been a release by Facebook for an official, I guess, React Native SDK. Can you kind of go into what brought that decision about, if you know this information or if you have any ideas, and kind of what changes were made versus previous implementations of this SDK and what the future plans are? Is this kind of going to be something that everyone kind of rallies around and is going to be a good go-to place for implementing Facebook login and Facebook sharing and stuff? And kind of, you know, kind of tell us about the project.
Yeah, sure. So I'm not kind of directly involved in working on the Facebook SDK because there is an internal team at Facebook dedicated to this specific plugin. But we've been an early adopters of Facebook SDK itself in the React Native case. The first day we have started building social login, we had to build everything by our own without any JS code. So the moment when Facebook released their first version, we've been super excited just to use it in iOS because it was solving plenty of issues for us. So it's been that way for like half a year, I would say, when Facebook SDK was, when Facebook React Native plugin was iOS only, it was shipping with free independent packages. So you could have just gone to the NPM and install core, install login, and install share plugins. And each of these kind of modules was in charge of something else, something different. And it's been that way for quite a long. I guess a month ago, they have changed the structure just because the Android version was released. So some certain decisions had to be made. So that was the moment when it stopped working with RNPM. And that was the moment when, you know, that entire issue in the community was kind of brought up that it no longer works. And we even made an article on Medium how to kind of use it at this point with Cocoa Pods. So the main reason for this was they were shipping with multiple projects in the same project, in the same repo. And our NPM is always assuming there is a single project per repo, per NPM package to be specific. So that was the reason it was breaking. And we had this discussion with internal Facebook team recently, thanks to Martin from React Native, that kind of connected us on Facebook, how to kind of solve these problems. And we had like two ideas to work around this issue. The first idea was to allow our NPM to link multiple projects. And that was actually super easy after we have figured out it works. It took us like a week, I would say. And that was the moment when I announced on Twitter that, okay, you can now link Facebook SDK. Normally, everything works. And then the internal Facebook team decided to resign from this multi-project approach. And they have decided to integrate everything into a single project for now, just to see how it works and what are the pros and cons. So at this point, there is only a single project, which is called Facebook React Native Facebook SDK. And that's the only thing you have to install. And that's the only thing you have to link. And it ships with all the features you want, so that it ships with core, it ships with login, and it ships with share APIs. And I think that's the way it's going to stay for the next couple of months. And we'll see how it goes. Obviously, the most important thing currently for RNPM to do is to allow RNPM to install native dependencies. Because currently the scope of RNPM is just to link the dependencies, so that when you download Facebook SDK from NPM, we'll just make it working by linking the projects. But there is still an extra step you have to do, because you have to go to facebook.com developers and you have to download the Facebook SDK package. You have to put it inside your vendors folder if you have one. And then you have to link the framework manually. So that's the next big feature we have to build for NPM, so that we will be able to download native dependencies as well, just like with Cocoa Pods. So you will no longer have to integrate them both in a single project, and you will no longer have to just download the things and just embed them in your project. Like basically, it's something like committing node modules, just bloating your repo. So that's something we are currently up to. And once this step is done, Facebook SDK integration will be entirely a matter of a single comment. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
That is very cool. I've definitely gone through the implementation of the Facebook SDK a few times, and it's gotten easier. But I remember the very first time I did it, just kind of getting everything working and making sure I didn't miss any steps. As someone that's not a native iOS developer, it was a little tricky. So I think that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I mean that's especially true when, for example, JS developers are trying to link these things. Because, I mean, I am an iOS developer. I mean, I have some background. So when I go to Facebook SDK documentation and they tell me to add some things to my playlist file, like NS transport policy, I know what's the purpose for that. And I know that this is something I have to do upfront without even reading the documentation. But I've seen so many issues and so many questions in the community. For example, why this is not working, why native Facebook app is not opening on my phone, just because all they assume is they just have to link it and maybe download some frameworks. But they didn't realize there are plenty of other steps they have to do that are platform specific, because they don't know how the native platform and native security is built on these two platforms separately. So yeah, I mean, this is super tricky to do, but hopefully we'll manage to make it. And that will be the moment when basically everything will be possible, just a matter of a comment.
Is there anything that you guys want to talk about that we haven't really kind of gone over yet?
Well, you know, it's quite fun that you guys have kind of invited me to this podcast, because I've been always kind of, that was kind of my dream to be a part of something like this, to have the ability to talk with people about some fun things that we are doing and how others can help and give some tips. But yeah, I mean, I don't think so. Maybe like if you will guys be looking for a host in the future, you can reach out to me. I'm always happy to help with podcasting. In fact, we have been trying to set up our own coldstack.io podcast recently. So it's definitely something we are investigating.
Absolutely. We'd love to have you on. Actually, I would love to keep your information and just kind of, you know, maybe bring you on every couple of weeks or something if you're available, because we really are looking to have people that have the type of depth and the breadth of knowledge really about React and React Native, and you're using it every day and you have a company centered around it, I think it would be a perfect fit.
Absolutely. I agree too. And it's easier too, because between right now, Nana and I, sometimes it's hard coming up with an hour full of questions, you know, with just two people. So having more on board is, it always makes that a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to do it, actually. In fact, I mean, I was quite expecting that Jed will be here today when I have realized he's also sometimes a host. But I understand, you know, the time zones are pretty hard to get everyone on board. But yeah, I mean, it's always fun when we kind of do something in the open source or when I have to work on a project with other consultants from US. It's always fun when I see a picture of someone and I'm like, I know this guy from GitHub. So I've recently realized like most of my friends are from GitHub. So it's like, I feel like my entire life is kind of GitHub driven. So
it's fun to go to a conference and like actually put a name to the, or a face to the name, you know, because everyone looks a little different than their like avatars on Twitter or GitHub, you know? So when you see them in person, it's like, oh, holy cow. You know, I can't believe I finally got to meet you.
Yeah. I had this in React Paris last year when I was like, when I met a few guys from Bratislava, or when I even like, I think Dan Abramov was the only person I was pretty sure that he is Dan because of the haircut. So that was quite easy. But the moment I met Ryan, Florence, and Michael from React Router, I was like, okay. Jed was also like way much different from GitHub avatar. So I was like, yeah. So yeah, I mean, that's always fun.
Are you going to be in React Europe this next week?
Yeah, definitely. I'm actually arriving. I'm landing on the hackathon day around midday. Been trying to ask some people if they are like up to having a beer or something nearby the venue, because unfortunately because of the university, I have to be in Wrocław by Saturday morning. So I have to tell you, it's not easy to get back to Poland overnight from Paris.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm going to be there, and it's going to be pretty kind of. I'm going to be in rush, basically, to make that happen.
Are you flying back, I guess, Friday night, or taking a train back or something?
Yes, I have. I have found a perfect flight Saturday morning. So it's like 4 hours by flight because I'm going through Warsaw, because there are no direct flights. I mean, there is a direct flight from Buve. And if anyone is kind of trying to buy a plane ticket right now, and sees a Buve offer, for example, by Ryanair, and thinks like that's perfect idea because it's cheaper, I would actually advise you against doing this, because Buve is so far away from the city, and you have to spend like serious money on buying the train ticket or bus ticket to get to Paris. If you can choose from, probably choose the main airport, because it's just easier to get and it's worth spending that extra money because of the convenience and comfort you'll get.
Well, if you get to Paris and you are going to get a beer somewhere, and if you feel like tweeting out where you're going, I'll probably keep an eye on my Twitter if I can, and I may try to meet you.
Awesome. I mean, I'm staying like 500 meters from the venue on Airbnb. I'll tweet it as soon as I land and probably we'll have something. Because you know, I mean, I have this feeling every year that there are so many React-oriented communities and React-oriented conferences, but I'm still kind of looking into having a truly React Native conference. So the idea was to have a React Native view. But yeah, I mean, we've been trying to make it in Poland through the company, but obviously we are a startup at this stage, so we don't have enough funds to kind of get it up and running. But yeah, I mean, would be really cool to kind of have a React Native conference with panels about some low-level things where people can see how to write native components and things like how to do the testing on React Native specifically. Because I think like for React Native developers, React topic itself is pretty much, it's okay, but it's not super exciting. So when I always talk to people on conferences, they are always like, it's been a cool conference, but I wish there were some more low-level talks about React Native itself and how to do some things in React Native. So, if we make it, that's going to be really great, I think, because there's definitely something React Native community itself needs.
If you end up doing that, or if you want to go forward with that, sign me up, first of all. And second of all, I would love to help out in any way possible I could by getting the word out or helping you find sponsors or whatever you would probably need for something like that, because I would be extremely interested as well.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll probably do some follow-ups to this because I can do quite a lot of things, but it's probably easier for someone being in US to help with the English things and with the sponsors as well. So yeah, it's pretty cool. Thanks for offering your help, and definitely we'll probably do something then, because I am excited at this moment. So it's going to be really fun.
Okay, awesome. Well, I guess we can go ahead and start wrapping it up and get to the picks. Peter, do you have any picks today?
So my pick, I forgot if I brought this up last week, but I've been using it a lot lately. React Virtualize has been super awesome in terms of rendering a million different items. There's some other implementations out there, but this one hasn't had any problems for me, especially because it's nice when you start using a public repo and realizing everything works the way you want it to, rather than, this is sort of what I want, and now I have to decide whether or not I'm going to contribute back and hope for the best in terms of getting it merged in or just building my own. So it's been nice that there's an amazing implementation that lets you do whatever you want with React Virtualize.
Very cool. Mike, do you have any picks?
My pick is probably going to be related to React Native releasing, because that's what I'm currently doing after work. We have shipped 0.27 earliest candidate just a few days ago, along with this stable release of 0.26. So if you haven't upgraded yet, you can check it out. We have some really, really cool, we have shipped quite cool features with these releases. Also, the most important thing about the release candidate currently is that whole module replacement is not working on Android. So if you ever kind of see a red screen, just don't be scared. We are working on the fix, and it is expected to land pretty soon.
Very nice.
Cool.
Okay, well, my pick is going to be a course on Pluralsight. It came out a few days ago. It's building applications with React and Redux and ES6. It's something that is really good because he goes into testing and a lot of other stuff. And if someone is kind of wanting to keep up to date, I guess, with the entire ecosystem of React and wants a go-to place to kind of get a rundown on what's going on right now, that would be a good place to check out. So it's Corey House on Pluralsight, building applications with React and Redux and ES6. Okay, well, that wraps up episode 29 of React Native Radio. Mike, thank you again for coming on.
Thank you for having me today. It's been really fun.
Absolutely. Looking forward to having you again. And we will see everyone next week.